Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 14th day of March, Anno Domini 2020. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. First thing I should mention, it is Pi Day. 3.14.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely Pi Day. So yeah. Today's the day to make that decision to go buy yourself a Raspberry Pi. Absolutely.
I prefer cherry.
Let's see. Well, right. Any excuse to get new tech? Honey, I had to. It's Pi Day.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Before we go to the phones, let's go to the news. On Thursday, Microsoft released an unscheduled fix for a critical security bug that makes it possible for attackers to remotely execute malicious code that can spread from machine to machine without requiring any interaction from users. So essentially, it's a worm. The flaw in version 3 of Microsoft's implementation of the server message block protocol is present only in 32 and 64-bit Windows 10 versions 1903 and 1909 for both client and server. Although the vulnerability is difficult to exploit in a reliable way, Microsoft and outside researchers consider it critical because it opens large networks to wormable attacks in which the compromise of a single machine can trigger a chain reaction that causes all other Windows machines to quickly become infected. That's the scenario that played out on with both the WannaCry and NotPetya viruses in 2017. In a bulletin accompanying Thursday's patch, Microsoft said it has no evidence the flaw is being actively exploited, but the company went on to label the bug as exploitation more likely. That designation means malicious actors will probably develop and use exploits in the future. To exploit the vulnerability against a server, an unauthenticated attacker could send a specially crafted packet to a targeted SMB version 3 server. SMB is the system message block. It's the thing that lets you share files and printers with people to exploit the vulnerability that unauthenticated attacker would need to infect an SMB v3 server. The security update addresses the vulnerability by correcting how the SMB3 protocol handles these specially crafted requests. Attackers with a well-written exploit might be able to read plain text passwords or other data, other sensitive data that could also obtain a shell that could be used to take control of the vulnerable machine. Eternal Blue, an earlier SMB exploit developed by and later stolen from the National Security Agency. I laugh every time I do that. Also obtained a read-write capability to replace an inbound function with an SMB in an SMB with a malicious function. That allowed the attacker to execute malicious code the next time a vulnerable machine called the SMB function. The SMB v3 vulnerability is likely to be maliciously exploited. The ability to reverse engineer Thursday's patch, combined with the high stakes consequences of successfully exploiting the flaw, will likely prompt highly skilled attackers to develop attacks. Anyone using a Windows 10 machine, particularly those who share printers, files, or resources over any kind of network, that, by the way, includes sitting in a cafe on a public network if you've been sharing anything, should install the patch as soon as possible. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft publishes fix for nasty SMB flaw. And your choices are, I've installed the patch, I'll download it now, I'm going commando, baby, Windows, and other. And of course, if you selected other, we would love it if you would put something in the forums. I'll talk about that in a minute. So far, I'm delighted to say we've got 298 votes. I've installed the patch and I'll download it now are the top two, which is good news. That's important. But if you do have more that you want to say about this, and I know you people, believe me, I know you have more to say about this stuff. Scroll down on the right at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 14MAR20, Microsoft Publishers Fix for Nasty SMB Files. You can post something there, and you can join us online, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. And again, before we get to the phones, I do want to mention, when you go to soundbites.org, it's going to look a little different. Google. Google put out a notice this week that they are changing their algorithm once again for how they rank things in their search engine. And they are now going to do mobile first. So if your site doesn't look good on a phone, you get dinged. You get downgraded in the server. And our site did not look good on phones. So I changed the theme. The Soundbites is a WordPress site, and I changed the theme. And so we have a new theme. I think, let me know what you think of this theme, please. Either by going and putting something in the forum. I put a thing under poll discussion. Under the first one, the show discussion on the new look. And I'd like to hear your comments and suggestions. So far, it seems pretty nice, and it certainly looks good on a phone. So hopefully we won't get dinged by any of that stuff. Are we having?
I don't know how that started.
Just lucky, I guess. All right. Before anything else goes crazy, we should. What? What do you need?
Wait a minute. We had somebody text in one thing to comment on one of your comments. What do you get when you divide? Wait a minute. I got to get closer for this. The old eyes. What do you get if you divide the circumference of a jack-o'-lantern by its diameter?
I think I know, but go ahead.
Pumpkin pie?
I knew it. Oh, Ed from Ithaca hung up. Sorry, Ed.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're here. What's that noise then? Dave, your phone is off the hook. There you go. It's okay. A technical thing. Dave's not good with that stuff. What can we do for you, Ed?
Hi. I'm thinking about getting a little netbook that I discovered runs on Windows 10 in S mode, which I've never heard of. I tried to download Revo on installers the first thing, and it wouldn't let me. And before I go further, I want to get some information from you all about how S mode works and whether I can use certain fairly common programs on it.
Okay. Windows 10 does have a thing called S mode, and they say it stands for security. Other people have another
word for
name
it.
For it. But the idea is it only uses Microsoft Edge, and it only allows you to load apps from the Microsoft Store.
So I can't use Firefox.
You can't do anything that isn't in the Microsoft Store.
Hmm.
They say that's security. It's just a method of lock-in.
Uh-huh.
But that's what Windows 10 S for security means. So Windows 10 in S mode. It is possible to switch out of S mode. If you do, you will not be able to turn it back on. But you can switch out of it. And you do that in settings. Update and security, and activation. But I don't necessarily recommend that. It has been known to cause issues, and you can't go back into S mode if it does.
I see.
But that, you know, that's a gamble. If you're going to take it, you're going to take it.
Yeah. So I would have to get everything through the Microsoft Store. Do you know if I can get things like Revo and iTunes and Malwarebytes?
I do. I honestly do not know. I doubt you can get iTunes. Although I don't know. I don't run Windows 10S. I certainly don't get anything from the Microsoft Store. So I have not looked to see what's available. I don't even know if they publish a list of software, because there's just an awful lot of things in the store.
So I'd have to go to the store, open a Microsoft account, and go to the store to find out.
Right. Well, you theoretically have, you can get to the Microsoft Store now. There's a Microsoft Store icon somewhere or app somewhere on your machine.
Okay.
So you should be able to go into it there. But as to what's available, just do a search for whatever it is you want. They are fairly limited. They're certainly have been known to be reluctant to put rival software in their store, so I can't tell you one way or the other.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. What I will do is put up a Windows 10S FAQ from Microsoft themselves. It'll take me a minute to do that because I'm also doing everything else, but I will do that. At some point. In the meantime, we'll go back to the phones. And our next caller is Joel from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Joel. What's up?
Hi. I called you last week about problems with the remote. And you mentioned a website that didn't quite get the chance to record it. Could you give me that website again?
Oh, hold on. I think Steve put it on the website. Hold on. Hold on. Watch free movies. Tree. Maybe not. But I think I have it here. It's not something that I had personally been interested in, but I think I may have. ReplacementRemotes.com.
Okay, that's it. That sounds about right.
Yeah. There you go.
And I thank you.
Sure.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. For those of you who weren't listening, Joel called last week, and he had lost a remote and bought a universal remote. But, of course, universal remotes never have all the features. And so he wanted for a DVD recorder. And so he wanted that remote, and where would he get it? Well, there is a company called Replacement Remotes. ReplacementRemotes.com, where shockingly you can buy replacement remotes.
Yeah.
Obviously, not everything on the planet is there, but certainly quite a number of things are, and you may be able to find what you need there. But again, there's a new look at the Soundbites website, and we'd like to hear from you as to what you think. We've tried to make it easier on the eyes. We've tried to make it easier to read. The colors, I think, are nice. The fact is, if you look at it on your phone or on your tablet, you will find that it is much, much better in terms of what you can see and how it reacts. So we're pretty pleased with that. So, and again, it's because Microsoft said mobile first. So if you've got a website and it is not looking good on mobile, you're going to start getting dinged in the Google listing. So get that fixed, and you know, make it a responsive blah 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 blah, and let us know what you think of that new look. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415, or down in the poll discussion, down in the forums under show discussion, there's a new look. Forum topic.
That was your lovely wife.
My lovely wife.
Yes, she had called from market, and evidently one of your employees, her iPhone had died.
Yes.
And she was talking about trying to find out, aren't the stores closed?
Yes. Tia, who works at market, said that the Apple stores are closed. I have not verified that myself. If anyone else can verify that, or if we're on in any of the Apple stores, give us a call and let us know. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299.
Steve's out running around and listening, maybe he could comment on that too.
If Steve's listening, he can text in or call in. Things are changing. We're seeing a lot more stuff. There's a local company called Mastermind Lounge that does video conferencing, meet and greets with celebrities and classes online and stuff like that. And they're kind of blowing up.
Yeah.
At this point, very cool.
But this is one great opportunity. I mean, you folks, you know, we've been talking about it for decades. And what I'm talking about is taking the time, and right now is usually a good time because you might have more of it at home, to get in the habit of setting up a procedure to do backup. You know, it's always one of those things that you get working on it, or you're busy working on this or working on that, and it just falls to the bottom of the list. Well, if you got some extra time right now and wondering what else you could do and that type of stuff, take the time to, one, run the security tango, and then, two, set up a backup procedure. And by that, I mean, don't worry about the programs. If your machine crashes, you know, you're going to have to reinstall the programs anyways, just to get it clean, and they got to register within Windows and everything else. Back up the data. Anything that is important to you, whether you've created a spreadsheet, PowerPoint presentations, and this is most important, is your photos. Those, once they're gone, folks. There's no bringing it back and, oh, I meant to, and everything else. I mean, over the years, I used to have folks come in and say, I meant to back up. Well, I meant to get them back, too. And we just did have somebody, Steve texted in and said, the Apple closes stores for 2 weeks. They are closing their stores for 2 weeks. So that's just an FYI for the public out there. But yeah, take the time to back those all up, because tell you what, I've seen it over the years. So many disappointed folks when they bring it in and they had all these important photos of all these other family relatives that are gone. And you know, that was the only photos they had of them. And you know what? Now they're gone. So there was just no bringing it back. And unless you want to try sending it off to DriveSaver or one of those companies and have them do it, and that's going to cost you some serious bucks. You better be sitting down when, you know, you got to nowadays send off that terabyte hard drive and say, all right, yeah, get these back for me. And then all of a sudden they say, okay, and here's what they're going to charge up front with no guarantee that you're going to get anything.
You're right.
And then once they do, then you're hit with the other sticker shock. And that could be thousands of dollars. So, you know, take the time and effort. Like Nick and I have both, we've used Google Photo for quite a few years. I have thousands and thousands of photos up there, which are important to me, and I'd feel bad if I lost them. But,
No, absolutely right. When you have stuff that is precious to you, why not spend a couple of minutes just backing it up? Mm-hmm. Get it saved. Get it done. And you, it's easy to do. You know, it takes a little time to set it up, but once you have set it up, you're done. You've got it. I think it's silly not to. Because, like Dave said, what's going to happen is you're going to come someday to a shop and you're going to say, I lost it, get it back. And they're going to say,
no.
No, can't do it.
All right, I just got another text in, and it says, evidently one of the stores is the store is open. It might be Steve. Is open until 1, maybe later if it's busy. Call there, and you know that's the easiest thing to do. If you're certain don't want to make the trip out there, and that they still make this thing called the telephone that you can pick up and actually dial a number and talk to a live individual.
Wait, what now?
It doesn't have to be texting. It's actual live without a net. You pick the phone up, you punch these little things that are called keypad for numbers, and it does this thing. I know a lot of folks are going to be shocked by it. It calls dialing.
This newfangled nonsense.
I know it.
I don't hold
high tech. High tech to it. Yeah.
Take your talking on the phone business and get off my lawn. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's where we got into discussion at work, you know, and things do go, because so many of us are a little bit older, and you know, some of these younger kids, they'll sit there and say, well, I can remember party numbers and party lines.
I remember
and,
party lines
and actually talking to an operator, and then these younger kids sit there and go, huh, what are you talking about? Well, it's just like a remote on the TV. The remotes we used to have was, Dave, get up and change the channel.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I used to get in trouble if I turned it too fast. You're going to break it. Because back in then, the TVs were no bigger than, say, you know, 9-inch screens. I remember our first one was big, no bigger than that, and it was black and white. And heck, you know, everything else has just changed so much, you know, we soon forget.
Oh, yeah. But you really do need to
take the time. This is the time right now, like I said, and just reiterating, while you have some time right now and you're wondering, you know, you don't want to go out shopping because this or that, and you're staying home, take the time to do that. That'll keep you busy for a while. Just setting up a procedure to do it, say, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And here's the other key thing before we have to go to a break is you can have it set up for a time at night. So say you work on your computer until 9 o'clock, and then usually you're calling it a day of that. All right, all you have to do is turn the monitor off, leave the computer running, and let it work overnight doing the backup. You wake up the next morning, turn on the monitor, and then it's completed. It's just like your scans. You know, you can schedule those to do them at times when you're not home. Or say you take off for work. Have it do it in the middle of the morning. Turn the monitor off and let it do its scanning. There's plenty of opportunities when folks sit there and say, but I don't have time. Yes, you do. You just got to schedule it so it can do it when you aren't busy, it'll make your life a lot easier.
Absolutely right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just a couple of minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And I did forget to mention Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law, somewhere in the Southwest, hiding among the mesas and wadis with the hole in the head gang. We're here. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Look, hackers and cyber criminals have been leveraging the hype and fear, and there is a lot of it, connected with the growing COVID-19 pandemic as a tool to steal passwords and data. Coronavirus-themed domain registrations are 50% more likely to be from malicious actors. Since that report was released last week, there have been some high-profile examples, most notably an attack aimed at a popular interactive COVID-19 tracking map maintained by Johns Hopkins University. Just as doctors say frequent hand washing and respiratory hygiene is the best defense against the coronavirus, cybersecurity professionals stress that computer users need to be more wary of what they click on, such as not downloading an email attachment from an unknown source. These ploys of tricking computer users to download malware by tapping into fear and anxiety are as old as the internet. Online scammers are trying to exploit this uncertainty through phishing attempts and fake domain names. An email seemingly from the CDC is trying to lure vulnerable people into clicking links to learn more about the virus, but ultimately leading them astray. Not only are we recommending people to be cautious about opening emails and files received from unknown senders, but also to beware of lookalike domains that are phony websites. Students and staff from universities that were canceling classes were also falling prey to hackers. One attack uses an email that looks like it's coming from the school's health team. I don't think there's any university that just called. Well, anyway. Yeah. Leading to a fake login page that tries to steal the victim's credentials. Also, please, for Pete's sake, ignore all emails promising coronavirus cures.
Yeah. Hello. It does not come through the internet. Your computer cannot get Corona-19 sickness.
COVID-19, right. Also, you will, believe me, if a cure comes out for COVID-19, you won't need to wait for an email about it. They'll be screaming it on the news.
Oh, that will be news interruptions constantly.
Right. Also, please note that the World Health Organization will never email you. So if you get an email that purports to be from the World Health Organization, trash it immediately. Don't even open it. Just throw it away. So are you being careful enough? Online, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
That will be something once they figure out, you know, what virus, you know, what they can do to cure it. It will be national news.
International news. It'll be touted everywhere. Billboards. You'll see newspapers, you'll see radio, you'll see television, you'll see everything. They'll be interrupting every single program on the planet to talk about it. So if you're not going to hear about it first in email. You're not going to get the secret cure that no one will tell you about.
Yeah, or something that they're keeping from you, and this could help you cure it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so,
no,
that's not there. There's no such thing. Please don't fall for that nonsense. And please, this is the time to tell people, particularly the people who are most at risk. The elderly are more susceptible, as we know, to COVID-19, and therefore they're more worried. And therefore, and in general, older people are more likely to fall for email scams or internet scams in general. So please inform all of your older family members, older friends, about this nonsense and remind them constantly not to fall for it, not to click on that stuff.
The thing of it is, and I've said this for decades, if you open an email and have to think about it, whether it's true or not, more than 10 seconds, delete it. Because if it is that important and they want to get in touch with you, there is still the thing called telephone or mail.
Right.
Because even if something was going to be, say, a judgment or anything else or legal action, they still have to notify you in writing. They don't do it by just email. So if, you know, say your Social Security is going to be, you've been hacked and everything else in that, hello, you would first get a letter a letter from the Social Security notifying you this and that. They don't do it by email.
Right. Also, if you have a question, here's a thought. Go to CDC.gov, Centers for Disease Control, CDC.gov, and look at the real stuff. Look, if somebody walked up to you on the street and said, hey, man, I got the COVID-19 cure right here in my pocket, I'm pretty sure you would turn around and walk away. Same thing in email.
Run away.
Same thing in email. So pay attention and be aware.
Like I said, if you got to think about it more than 10 seconds, delete it. It's always been the safest thing, even with viruses and everything else. This has held true for over a couple decades now.
All kinds of things. Look, everything from politics to health to everything.
Postage, you know, or a package is going to be delivered or this or that.
There's a problem with your bank.
Yeah.
Really? How do you determine if there's a problem with your bank? Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. Log on to your bank. Don't click on the link in the email. Just go log on to your bank.
Yeah.
Or call them. The branches, they have phone numbers. They have 24-hour hotlines.
Like I say, there's still that thing you can pick up and open up your phone and this thing called a keypad. And you can dial a number. And what? If you got a Google phone, usually you can, if you don't want to do the keypad, Google's smart enough that you can sit there and say, Google, please, blah, 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 and it will do it. So if you wanted to call a particular branch, name the bank and then the branch, it'll do it.
It'll do it. Pay attention.
It doesn't get any simpler than that. You don't have to know, oh, I forgot numbers and that. Well, you know what? Google didn't, and it'll do it. In fact, I was surprised. I just got the most recent phone book.
You got the phone book?
There is a phone book. It's about 2 inches thick. They've gone down to the smallest. I think it's 8x10.
Wow.
And the yellow pages are thicker than the white pages.
Wow. I don't even know if I'm in the phone book anymore. I shouldn't be, but I'm not.
I mean, you know, it's a lot of businesses and everything else. And for the few folks that still, some folks still like to have a home phone. I can't personally see the waste of it because, you know, I've got a cell phone and
I'm closer to my cell phone all day than I am to a landline.
Yeah, you got a better. Yeah, I was going to say that travels with me. If you want to get in touch with me and call me, it's a lot of better chances of getting in contact with me than trying to contact me at home. Because if I'm out working, you know, that's 9-10 hours that I'm not there.
Yep. No, it's true. The reality is that I don't know any young people who've got a landline, and most of the adults that I know, the older adults. Many of the young people I know are also adults. I know if you're listening, don't call in. I look forward to your angry tweets. most of the older adults I know have given up their landlines as well.
Yeah.
I just realized the other day we have my answering machine is still plugged in. There's no phone connected to it. It's not connected to any. We don't have a landline anymore. We don't even have the line for a landline.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, neither one of us ever turned off the answering machine. We're sitting there blinking zero in a corner. So one of us had put something on it, actually.
Okay.
And then I moved some stuff that in there was blinking zero. It amused me.
No, it is.
It's a tiny minimal trickle of electricity. And
yeah, but
no big deal.
Airphone?
Yeah, right.
Airphone answering machine.
The good news is if someone had managed to call us on a landline, it would have gone to the answering machine.
Oh, that's one thing I wish I could get rid of is, you know, the house I'm in, it had been businesses over the years.
Yeah.
So the phone company got a little, I'll call it lax. And what they would do, and you know, say I was running lines for the business, they just run new lines. Instead of using the existing ones, they just run new ones. So I got all these other lines. There's like four of them that are hanging there. They serve no purpose, and I wish I could get them down. Because they're just, you know, if a truck or anything else, and this has happened, UPS or that, comes down the driveway, you know, they could get caught up in those wires hanging down. I mean, the only wire that I care about now, and they've got that strung up pretty high, is my green light. That's the only one. Matter of fact, even the cable line, you know, for the cable.
Sure.
I ripped all that stuff out because they had all this other hardware and everything out, these boxes.
Tech to the wall, yeah.
Yeah, you know, on the outside. And I kept bumping into them or that. I'd hit them with a shovel. Finally, since green light came, those all came down. And here's just this little slim little box up against it. And, yep, the rest I ripped right on out, took it off, threw it in the trash. As a matter of fact, I had to run a Cat 5. I didn't know it, but there's Cat 5 cable for outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I wound up getting some Cat 5 cable and ran it from my router down in the basement out where the cable connection used to go to the upstairs. So the only thing I got to do now, and I'll admit it, I'm a wuss. I don't like heights. But I got to borrow a ladder from my friend when I can get the nerve and go up the side. You know where my awning is for the house, the shop?
Yeah.
Just above there is where the old cable used to go, and the new cable I want to tack down.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's just getting up there. I got it in pretty neat, but I just got to get up there and do that.
Yeah. Oh, and quite quick, in honor of Pi Day, I have to admit I'm so tempted by a Raspberry Pi 4. $35, another $15 for the power supply, another whatever, $10 to $25 for the case, depending on what you get. it could be quite the little device to play with. We'll talk about that more, but right now.
And get a Nexton screen.
Exactly.
Oh, those are a lot of fun. Matter of fact, you can get the cases now for the Raspberry Pi, and the clear cases that you can put the Raspberry Pi in, and then it has the and it comes with the screen, so you can hook that on up to the board. And it's not a hard soldering job. I mean, I use it for my ham radio. I put this little hat onto it, which is effectively like a modem. That I can tether my phone to it, and then it connects to the internet through the phone connection and that type of stuff. So, but yeah, Raspberry Pis are so much fun to play around with. There's a number of projects I want to do with that and an Arduino board.
There's hardware and there's software.
Oh, you know, I couldn't believe the projects for Arduino. That you can then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For hardware?
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm talking about, folks, is Arduino is just a little circuit board that you can do different projects and you can program stuff. And then what you do is you take that program and you transfer it over to a micro SD card, which then can be loaded up to the Raspberry Pi. And it can do anything from controlling the thermostats and different things in your house. Cameras, you name it, because the Raspberry Pi can either be hardwired or do it wirelessly connected to your internet. So there's a lot of great stuff out there that you can play around with in that. And just like anything else, I just got to get the time.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ken from Rochester, New York. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how you doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm picking peaches, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Windows 98, my machine finally died. But you know what?
What?
It's all good.
Yeah.
It served me well. And in 06, I came across a program called Folder Match.
What is it called?
Folder Match. Okay. F-O-L-D-E-R-M-A-T-C-H. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'll tell you, I used ArcServe in the day and a bunch of other programs that are a lot more lengthy and difficult. And, boy, I just fell in love with it, and the 98 machine was no big deal. I mean, I do the backup on all my machines pretty much every time I turn them on. Mm-hmm. And this software makes it really easy, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really good. I think you guys would enjoy it, and so would the listeners. I don't know. I mean, remember, I've been using the same version across the board from 98 all the way up to, well, let's see, the most recent is 7, but I've actually gotten it running on 8. So I don't, it's, I'm sure there's newer versions of it out there, and it's Windows. The other thing I wanted to mention to you fellows was a long time ago, you mentioned something about POTS lines. You know, the old phone.
Yeah, yeah. POTS for everybody else is plain old television telephone service.
Well, I was thinking, you know, the kids, it'd be a nice outing for them, but if they want to take the kids down to Panorama Trail and Penfield Road, the plaza down there.
Yeah.
That has like 6 phones in it. Only one faces the parking lot. The rest are mounted on the backside of a pillar that supports the building.
Huh.
So you can't see it from the parking lot. You have to be coming out of the store to see it. And they're all, I walked past there last week. They're all, I don't know if they're functional. I didn't use it, but everything's intact. I mean, everything's there.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I figured maybe if someone wanted to take a stroll through the past, they could go down and use that old machine.
That's funny. Thanks. That's a great idea. Thanks.
You're welcome. I hope everybody else gets some use out of that folder match. Hope it works for them as well as it did for me.
Yep. I just and thank you for that. I just put a link up on our website at soundbites.org. So people will be able to just go to the website and see folder match and see what it does. Thanks.
All right. You guys keep picking peaches and so will I.
Yeah, okay. It's a deal.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the... that folder match looks like a pretty decent little piece of software. Basically, it's a it compares two folders, and you can compare entire drives and does file synchronization and backup and data replication and all that other stuff. So,
cool.
Looks like a pretty cool little product. Looks like a pretty cool little product.
Mm.
And as for Arduinos, you can go to arduino.cc. And I will put a link up on the website there as well. And Arduinos are basically little devices that give you the ability to create open source hardware. It's basically a single board computer, and it does it lets you do breadboarding projects and all of that other stuff. So it's a pretty cool little device, and it lets you build digital devices. People use it a lot for home robots and all that stuff. Pretty cool thing all the way around. So if you're interested in micro devices, Arduino.cc is the place to go.
Yeah, and they also, on Amazon, they've got complete kits. I mean, you can get a complete kit. Excuse me. The actual Arduino board, and it comes in a nice case, and it's got the other jumpers and all this other stuff that you're going to need, the diodes and the resistors. They even got some push buttons, some LEDs, and all this stuff that, you know, you're going to need for doing these different projects. And then you go to this, like I said, well, I don't know much about electronics. Well, neither did I. And the thing of it is, though, there are so many, again, this is the greatest thing about the internet, is if you're curious about doing something, go check out YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube has been a wealth, I can say, for a couple decades for me, it seems. Because I can remember back when I had my Chevy HHR. I wasn't sure on how to change the headlight on that.
What a great looking car that was.
And, oh, it was. It was a great little buggy of mine. And sure enough, I went onto YouTube And there was a guy showed me this video where you had to jack the car up, take the tire off, and undo the shroud. And then you could put your hand up in there and pull the bulb out. But like I said, until then, I wasn't a mechanic. Well, the same with the Arduino boards. There are so many projects out there, and you can go to the Arduino website, and there is a list of projects. And again, there are videos attached to it that they'll walk you through various steps that you can create simple little things just to start out of, say, blinking lights. And they'll show you how to even program. If you sit there and say, oh, I'm not a programmer. Well, this is very simple programming that there are, you know, again, and there's YouTube videos out there that will explain the programming for Arduino.
Yep.
And it's a lot of fun. So if you're thinking of, you know, getting something else to, you know, play around with and do, check that out too, along with the rest. Because like I say, once you create the code there, you can then transfer it over to an SSD card, micro SD card, and then put that in the Raspberry Pi, boot it up, and away you go. And it can do different things. The only limitation is your mind.
Yep.
You know, and there's so much out there. My next project, once things settle down on that for me, what I want to get into is, like I've talked about before, is the Nexton screens. Basically, what these are, folks, are various screens, and they come in sizes all the way from 2.4, I believe, up to 8 inches now. I think there's one that comes out, but I know there's at least up to 7 that goes by Nexton. And these are various screens that you can put and attach to the Raspberry Pi and do things. So if, you know, you want a screen, say, on your Raspberry Pi for just booting up and doing stuff or hooking up a Game Boy or whatever, you can do it. And you, there are, again, more YouTube videos out there that'll teach you how to do the layout. First, what you have to do is on your computer is download this one program for Nexton that lets you design a screen. And they show you different videos of, say, doing stuff of recording temperatures. And it'll go out to the local weather and get your temperature, and you can display the date and the time. And they show you how to set that all up. And then from there, you go again into the programming, just like the Arduino, and do simple commands to go out, grab the temperature, and display it on the screen. It's very easy stuff, a lot of fun if you know you want different projects that you can play around with.
But if what you're really interested in is just a cheap little toy, you can get regular screens, even touch screens, and use the device as a regular computer without having to do any programming at all. It'll just show you the icons and everything else. All right, that music tells us you've wasted an entire hour with this nonsense, but ha ha ha! You got another hour coming your way, so take a little extra long break, and then we'll be back with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is top of the hour. It's top of the hour. And we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415, and we will see you with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites. It's member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901 Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And we have Greg from Henrietta on the line. Hiya, Greg. What's up?
Hi. How are you?
Peachy. How are you?
So I have a question here. Deciding if something easy that I can fix, or if I should bring it to someone who knows what's doing. my brother, during Christmas, had decided to upgrade his gaming computer, and he gave me his old Alienware, a 17R4. And since then, it was working fine up until a couple days ago when the D drive suddenly was not reading. You can still find it, but it's not opening anything. It doesn't seem to be there when you try to open up stuff. So.
Okay.
So from there.
Well, there's probably a couple of things you could do, but I would suggest taking it to a vendor. Alienware is owned by, I believe, Dell now. Pretty much, particularly if it's out of warranty, pretty much any of the reputable vendors in town. And most of and let's be honest, the ones that are left are the reputable ones, able to handle that. So I would take it to somebody and have them take a look at it. Could be as easy as a cable issue. It could be as difficult as a dead or dying at least drive. What it could be if the drive can be recognized by the system, but you can't get any data off it. It could be that the file allocation table or just the directory is corrupted. And if it's the directory, there are tools that can fix that, but they should be done by a professional, not by the average person, because you can destroy everything.
Oh, yeah, that I definitely don't want to do that, because I wouldn't be able to afford one of these again in my life.
Right.
Yep, okay. Then I'll take your advice then. It sounds great to me.
Yeah, it's any of the good local vendors, and like I said, they're just to open the phone book. They're all good people, and so you should be able to find one that can handle the Alienware for you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Yep. Bye bye.
Yeah, Alienware made some really good hardware, and not cheap.
No, it was for the serious gamer, and yeah. It still is for. The good part.
Yeah, very, very high end.
Yeah.
But if his D drive is not working, like I said, it could be anything as simple as a cable issue. It could just be a disconnected cable.
Yeah, I mean, they do come loose.
That's exactly right. Or it could be, I had a friend who had that exact issue. Her hard drive had not been properly installed. And so it didn't have enough screws. And it, of course, vibrates, and she moved the case around and yada, yada, yada. And at one point it vibrated so much that it fell out of the, thank heaven it didn't hit the motherboard on the way down. We did that with a, at one point. But it pulled the cable out. And so clearly the G drive was gone.
Well, I had a customer one time bring a computer in, and he goes, I don't want to have to send this all the way back to, I think it was Dell. I'll say Dell. It could have been Dell, Gateway, not sure. But he says, this is a brand new computer. I didn't even get to turn it on. Can you please take a look at it? All right. So he says, I'll leave it, and whenever you can get a chance. Okay. So I had to go out, do a call, and service call, I came back, and I'll take a quick look at this. He kind of tweaked my interest. So I quick opened up the case. I go, huh. I grabbed the cable, Because this is when the old, like you said, not the new newer connectors, but like on the old IDE cables, it just, when they put it on, they didn't put it in flat, and it was pushed on an angle, like they were trying to quick do it. And I pushed it back in firmly and placed it in there and kind of checked all the other connections and turned it on. Boom, it's coming up. It's counting the memory and all that. So I get on the phone. He goes, "You're calling me this soon? Is it that bad?" I go, "I need to know what you want to use for a computer name." He goes, "What?" I got the thing up and booting. You just don't know how to operate it right. No, what'd you do?
Yep.
Is I was pushing buttons, turning the power supply on and off and everything else. I had to take the cover off the case and just remount stuff. He goes, "Oh, do I feel dumb?" I said, "No. If you don't feel comfortable, open those up and, you know, and going in there, there's capacitors and everything else. If you don't know what you're doing, you could short stuff out and mess things up, especially if folks don't properly ground themselves."
Right.
And, you know, it's so, yeah, I was able to do that too.
Well, I told you last week, it was that soon ago. At Rochester Google's, one guy brought his machine.
The proximity.
Yeah, and it wouldn't boot up. It absolutely would not boot up. So I said, "Hand it to me." Reach it across the table. I set it down. I hit the power button. I looked at it. Jerry Seward was sitting next to me, and we tried so hard not to look at each other because it just booted right up. Handed it back to me, logged in, it was all fine. All I could think was that there's a loose connection somewhere, whether it's the hard drive was not tightened in.
Seated correctly,
right.
Yep.
So he needs to deal with that, and that's certainly not something I'm going to do. I'm not going to open somebody's computer.
Especially those, you know, I mean, trying to get in there and that, and again, if you're not properly grounded.
Right.
But
right.
That's one thing, though, folks, you know.
But the look on his face of everybody around the table.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What did you do?
Well, yeah. Magic. But I've seen folks, you know, talk about taking stuff apart. They cause the issue.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about there was this one gentleman tried to, he took out all the screws on the bottom. And he wanted to get, because he wanted to get the hard drive out and replace the hard drive. Well, in doing so, he's flipping it around and everything else, and he couldn't figure out how to get it open. So he put the screws back in, except it was like three of them that was around the case. Well, one of them happened to be where the cover for the hard drive, it locked the hard drive in. And what happened is you take this one screw out and then you put a screwdriver in there and just quick pop it because it had like this compression. And you pop it out and then the hard drive would slide on out from the connector. Well, him taking, not putting that screw back in and flipping it around, the drive in the laptop had slid down a little bit. Enough so you could get out. And that was from him moving it around that all of a sudden it wouldn't fly. But once he brought it in, I popped it open, popped it back into position, put the screw in, and it was good to go.
On my on my old Windows machine, I bought this is many, many years ago, I bought a Windows laptop because I was going to be teaching Visual Basic. Turns out I did not teach Visual Basic. I don't want a Windows laptop, so I put Linux on it.
Yeah.
But I also took that opportunity to replace the very slow, very small spinning hard drive with an SSD card.
Ooh.
So I flipped it over. I pulled out all the stuff. I replaced the drive. That was fine. And I'm willing to do that for myself. I am not willing to do that for other people because if I'd broken it or screwed it up or shorted something or whatever it was I could have done, it's my machine. That's fine. I will work on software for people all day long. I will not work on hardware.
Yeah, I know. I've seen you sweat.
I sweat when I open the machine.
I don't, the time I was like over it. There at your house and that we're pulling your machine, you're sitting there and you weren't even working on it. You're next to me. I'm sitting there pulling this cable off and you started sweating. It's like,
I've had a phobia about that ever since my days as an actor. Because if I'm on stage acting and something goes wrong, I can ad-lib my way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's software. If a light goes out or a board shorts or anything like that, you are done. There is nothing you can do. That's hardware.
Yeah.
And I've had that happen. And it's it's been that way my whole life. I don't do hardware. I've run boards before. I've been a stage manager before. I prefer being on stage because I can handle...
You got control.
...issues. Even if a light goes out or a set falls down or something happens.
Or a mic doesn't start working.
Yeah. It stops working. I can handle it as an actor. Being the person backstage, you don't run out and pop a setup in the middle of a show. You don't do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a whole other issue, and I don't do those. I do not do those. All right, here's a short news item. By the way, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Here on Pi Day, Google. Oh, by the way, my Chromebook updated this morning, so there's a new...
Mine did last night.
Yeah, there's a new version. Google is working on a native Chrome OS app for printing and scanning. Even though Chromebooks are geared towards schools, well, not really anymore. They're geared toward everybody nowadays. They don't provide an easy way to see your... You can print anything, but you can't really easily see your queued print jobs or figure out the errors that prevent a printer from working properly. It doesn't do any of that stuff. Google's Cloud Print made doing those things possible, but that app is shutting down in 2021. Google is working on a print management app for Chrome OS. So if you're one person connected to one printer, not a problem. But if you're connected to multiple printers or you've got a group of people connected to a system, or indeed you're connected to an old printer that does not easily play with others, having a print management app is a good idea. The app's development is still in its very early stages, but it will apparently show you your recent print attempts, a job's name, and which printer it was sent to, all the standard stuff, as well as if it was successful. So all the standard stuff that a print management app actually does. In addition, the app will include the capability to scan documents. Now, right now, of course, you can scan documents using Android apps if you have a newer Chromebook that will run Android apps. You can use a scanning tool on that. I have a Brother printer scanner, and so I use iPrint from Brother, and I can print and scan and do whatever I want to do with that. So that's really nice, but it would also be nice to have a native app for that. It's unclear when the feature will be available. Hopefully Google rules it out before Cloud Print follows Reader and the hundreds of other scrapped projects into the trash heap. So do you still print stuff? Why? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, no, I've very little reason to print a lot of stuff now.
I print 4 sheets of paper a week.
Yeah.
The stuff that I, the news items that I bring here.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I print.
I mean, yeah, I can't remember. Well, yeah, I did do some printing of some stuff, but it was only because I did up a couple charts for UTC time versus EST time.
Yeah.
This daylight savings time messes everything up.
You know you can add a second time to your phone, by the way, and you can make that UTC, and so you'll always have it on your phone.
Oh, yeah. No, but I had a chart.
Yeah,
for when I'm looking up stuff quickly, because they might say, all right, this contest is going to start at 7 p.m. UTC time.
Right.
So I could quick look over my chart. Okay, that's, you know, whatever time it is in EST time. But now because we switched over to daylight savings time now, I got to redo the chart because it's off an hour.
Yep. First world problems, believe me. There's a whole lot of that stuff. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law live in Arizona, and they don't do daylight savings time. And I'm beginning to think that's not necessarily a bad idea. I'm not entirely sure why daylight savings time is still useful. Back in the day when people had to get up at the crack of dawn, maybe. Back in the day when kids mostly walked to school, maybe.
It was a good, it served its purpose, but no longer does.
Yeah, I don't think it does anymore so much.
Just like we used to have the blue laws. You couldn't buy any groceries or anything else on a Sunday.
Right.
It's old, it's antiquated, not needed anymore.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is David from Irondequoit, New York. What's up, David?
Hi. I have an Acer Chromebook.
Yeah.
And the past few months, it's been really slow. It's slow to start, and it's slow to get the Google page up.
Right. Okay, so couple of questions. How old is this Chromebook?
At least 3.5 years old.
Okay. How much RAM is in it?
I do not know.
Yeah, okay. A couple of things. 3-4 years old, you're looking at some fairly old technology. As Google has increased the abilities of Chrome OS, they take more and more resources. So if you've got a fairly old Chromebook, you may find that it is getting a little slower. Also, if you've added a lot of add-ons, those will definitely slow down your Chromebook. A friend of mine was complaining about exactly the same thing, and I looked at his machine. He had like 25 or 30 add-ons, all of which are lovely, useful things, but just for the heck of it, I disabled all of them, and his machine came back up like that. It was amazing. So I said, just use the ones that you use every day. You know, you looked at this one, and then you stopped using it. Well, disable it or uninstall it, you know, get rid of it. So that can be an issue. It also can depend entirely on the quality and speed of your internet connection as to how fast pages come up. Because the reality is that we do everything on the internet nowadays, and so we are under the thumb of the speed of our internet connection.
I have green light, so I'm hoping that's not an issue.
Yeah, that's not the problem, then. Absolutely, that's not the problem. But I would check to see what add-ons you've got. Do you shut it down every night and then let it reboot, or do you just close the lid and let it sleep?
Well, I was just closing the lid, but then I thought this might not be such a great idea every once in a while. So I have been every other day, let's say, actually shutting it down. Yeah. But it doesn't seem to have helped as much as I was hoping.
Right. And that would only help if you were running something in the background, seriously. And it also depends how much RAM you have, depends on how many tabs you can have open, whether or not you can be running, how many Android apps you can run, whether or not, and how many Linux applications you can run, et cetera, et cetera. So I have one Chromebook that's got 8 gig of RAM. And I can do anything I want on it. And I have another one that's only got 4 gig of RAM, and it's slower, for sure. And I've got an old one that doesn't get updated anymore with only 2 gig of RAM, and it's very slow. I don't know what to tell you. The fact is that older laptops, particularly the ones with less RAM, older machines often had 2 gigs, some of them even had 1 gig, and the Chrome OS is kind of moving beyond that.
I've put RAM in my desktop, well, ages ago, but is it doable to put more RAM in it in a Chromebook?
Depends on the model of Chromebook.
Yeah, and trying to take those apart.
Well, that's not necessarily the issue, but it may be that it's soldered in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm almost betting that it is.
Yeah. Most of them are these days.
Because of the thinness of the Chromebooks.
Right. The Chromebooks are not quite like Macs, where everything is not only screwed in but glued in, so you can't open it. But some Chromebooks are actually fairly easy to open. Just turn them over, pop off the unscrew the things, pop off the back, you're done. But some of them have socketed RAM, and some of them have soldered RAM. So it's certainly, you know, if you're up to it, like we've been saying all day, if you're the sort of person who likes to tinker with hardware, it certainly can't hurt to give it a try. But be aware that there could be issues, and you may find that when you get the back off that the RAM is soldered in. If it's not, then find a compatible module and at least double the RAM. It may not be able to, you know, go to 8 gig or 16 gig, but it certainly should be able to go from 1 to 2 or from 2 to 4.
Right. I don't think I'll play with it since that's my wife's main computer. So I think I'll let that ride.
Yeah, there's an idea. Man. But I would certainly take a look at what add-ons she's got in there, what extensions, Google calls them extensions, are in there, and see if there's something you don't specifically need, and go from there.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. Have fun. Yeah, the Chromebooks are pretty amazing, but you know, if you bought the low end and it's 4 years later. It may not be at its peak anymore. It may be starting its way downhill. All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415, and we'll be back right here on Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Tom from Rochester, New York on the line. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how are you? I'm just calling to get your opinion on something. I had some updates to my Firefox, and it kicked on, and it offered me something called a Facebook container. It said it prevents Facebook from tracking you around the web. Are you familiar with it?
And I am.
If you are, what's your opinion on it?
I use it.
Pardon me?
I use it.
Okay, so you recommend it then?
Well, hold on.
Okay.
Because I've gotten several calls about this week.
Okay.
It doesn't randomly show up on your computer that I know of. If you asked for it or you went into the add-on store and searched for it, then yes, install it. But if it just randomly showed up at your computer, I would be suspicious.
Well, okay, yeah, it's when I turned my computer on. I know there was updates when I turned it off the last time. And when I turned it on, that's when this it came up. You know, with the Firefox, it says installing Firefox updates.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, hold on. I could be lying. I could be lying to you, Tom. I apologize.
You wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do it on purpose, certainly.
Be still my heart.
Okay.
It appears that the Facebook container extension, being from Mozilla themselves, they are recommending it. And it, I don't see that they're actually, I don't see that they're actually popping it up, but they are certainly recommending it. And if the website you're going to is Mozilla.
Yeah, well, I didn't go to a website. It just, it came up after the Firefox updates were installed.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen it. Of course, I'm already running it, so. but I haven't seen it. So it is certainly possible. But what I would do is say no to that and then go into your add-ons, go to Mozilla add-ons and search for it and then install it directly from there.
Okay, what is that under the Mozilla website?
Right, under well, one of two ways. You can go do it from the website. You can also go to your menu and select add-ons and then add it from there.
Okay. Alrighty.
Either way, but it's a very good extension. One of the things that Facebook does, and everybody listening should know this, one of the things that Facebook does is set universal cookies on your machine. That means they can track you even when you're not using Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you should never use Facebook outside of the container, and you should go and delete all your Facebook cookies right now, immediately.
I usually, on a regular basis, I'll go through on Internet Options and delete all cookies and temporary Internet files.
Right. No, absolutely.
And that will do it?
That should do it.
Okay.
Once you've done this, once you've added the Facebook container, that won't be an issue for Facebook.
All right. Since we're talking about Facebook, can I ask another quick question?
Sure.
When I get on Facebook, you'll get advertisements on your homepage all the time.
All the time.
And there's no way to prevent that?
Well, yes and no. There are blockers. There's one called uBlock Origin, the letter U.
Okay.
Which actually is a mu, but it's a U. The word block, muBlock Origin. And that's another extension, another add-on that you can add to either Firefox or Chrome or whatever. And it will block a lot of stuff.
All right. Okay. I appreciate your help. You got a great show.
Thank you so much. We appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Also, by the way, if you're running the Chrome, the Facebook app on your phone, you're being tracked all the time, too. And Facebook probably asked you for permission to do everything, and you probably said yes. So it's looking at your phone calls and your pictures and your contacts and dang near everything else. So if you're one of those people who has Facebook on your phone, don't ever complain about privacy because you have none. That's simple enough. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Scott from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Scott?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about high-speed internet.
Yeah.
I can get fiber to the house at 30 by 30, and I have Spectrum right now at like 100 by 10. Is the fiber better or not?
Who's your fiber provider?
Well, it's a business fiber.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the basic 30 by 30. They can increase it.
Well, clearly 100 megabits is better than 30 megabits.
Okay.
Right? I mean, one thing about Spectrum is that 100 megabits is shared closer to your home than most fiber connections, although I don't know what company is providing your fiber. So you may get more collisions at certain times of the day, which slows down your speed considerably. But still, you've got that raw speed. So if they are off, is it up to 100, or are they telling you 100?
Spectrum, I think it's up to 100.
Yeah. And probably the fiber providers are telling you up to 30. Those weasel words, up to, means they could give you one. And that's, you know, that's up to 30. That's up to 100. It's getting there. It's on its way. But in general, Spectrum has been pretty good in terms of quality of service. And 100 is certainly over three times better than 30. So if you're going to get it now, it also depends on what you do. 30 up is three times faster than 10 up. So if what you do involves a great deal of uploading, then 30 by 30 is probably pretty good. But if most of what you do is downloading, 100 by 10 is better.
Which most folks are.
Right. 99% of people need download more than they need upload.
Okay. And there's Greenlight's 50 meg, right?
50 minimum.
$50 for 500 megs.
Yeah.
And that is 500 down, 50 up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's their low end. You can also go 750 or a gigabit with increasing ups as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want more down or more up?
More down.
The average person wants more down.
More down?
Yeah, right.
For example, you will say, give me that web page. That takes nothing. And then they send you 200 pictures and a lot of text and everything else. So you want down to be super fast. Up, most people don't need super fast up.
Yeah, because usually you're only uploading, say, a document or some individual stuff up to, say, Google Docs. Whereas, say, I'm going to download a program. I want to install Revo One Installer. You can click on that, and with Greenlight, it's, oop, and I look, and, oh, it's already down.
Yeah.
It's just that fast.
Right. And the request for it is a click. How much does that take to send?
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so you definitely want more down than up.
Okay, great.
There you go.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. I've been touting my happiness with Greenlight for a long time, but there's a whole lot of providers and most of them are providing good service and good quality connections. What you want is the speed, and that's important. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Oh, good afternoon. First off, you got a bunch of donations to the Greenlight jar.
Oh, yeah. We do, yeah. Well, that was his call. He's the one who started talking about it. Scott's fault. He's the one who has to
can't blame us.
We put into the jar this time.
We're here to answer questions. We can't control the questions being asked.
Okay, what's
they
next,
got
Bob?
Him. He's still trying to figure that one out.
What's next, Bob? Bob,
where'd you go? I think we lost Bob.
Huh? Okay, all right, sorry, Bob. We'll call back. I don't know what happened to you. But yeah, the fact is that most people, about 99.999% of people, need down more than they need up. The speed and the speed of downloading is the thing they're most interested in. Because it's bad. Bob is back. Bob, did you hang up on us?
I'm like a bad penny. You can't get rid of me. Firefox is pushing the container update actively. I got prompted to install it last time Firefox did an update yesterday.
Okay, then it is legit. Like I said, I've been running it for a while, so I have not seen that. So I didn't know if it was legit or not, but apparently it is. And that's great because Facebook is insidious crap,
Well, yes, I understand you have to use terminology like that while you're on the air.
Yeah, exactly. But
the guy asked about another blocker for Facebook's garbage. There's something called FB Purity, which I've been running for a while, which I rather like. It's not an approved extension. You got to tell it to shut up in order to install it, but I rather like it.
FD what?
F.B.Purity. P-U-R-I-T-Y. The FB stands for fluff busting.
Oh, FB.
Yeah, Frank Boy Purity.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah, FB Purity. Nice. So, yeah, that's specific to Facebook. I use.
Well, that's what he was after, I thought.
Right. And that would work for that. I use MuBlock.
Well, yeah, I use uBlock Origin as well as NoScript and all the other popular ones. But right. He was looking for something for Facebook, and I thought, hey, I like it.
There you go. That works. That absolutely works.
But you got to tell Facebook or tell Firefox to go ahead and install it because it's not on their approved list of extensions.
Right. But yeah, it looks like it. A lot of people seem to like it. So yeah. So if you're looking for an FB, I'm sure doesn't stand for Facebook. I'm sure.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
They didn't like that. This has been out for a few years, and Facebook really didn't like that name.
Right. So yeah, you can. It also lets you change the look of Facebook and hide offline friends in chat and be alerted when you're unfriended and a whole bunch of additional stuff. So.
It and it can like stick your start page to most recent, too.
Oh, nah, that's nice. So, yeah, there's clearly a bunch of stuff that FB Purity does. And people seem to say it's safe. I know you can also install it on Google Chrome if you're a Chrome fan, so.
Well, I'm not a Chrome fan, so.
All right. But,
we've discussed that before.
Also, you have to know that it's probably pretty good since Facebook banned the guy who created it. So,
all right, I'm done.
All right, thanks, Steve. Yeah, there's a bunch of programs that will help you do that stuff on Facebook. And as I said before, Facebook is insidious. Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who owns Facebook, has famously said more than once that the privacy is dead, and so he absolutely is going to steal all your data. He's been serious about that since day one. It just splish it everywhere. Dave was doing a little hand sanitizing, and
it exploded on me.
He made a little mess.
Well, shouldn't when you pump it down.
It should go down.
Go down, yeah. Not out.
That's the theory, but apparently not that one.
Not here at Jazz 90.1.
Exactly. We're special.
We go all over the place.
We do nothing the normal way. But at any rate, as I said, Mark Zuckerberg has said that privacy is dead, and so you can't be surprised when he steals all your data. And if you put Facebook on your phone, it will track you everywhere. It will look at all your contacts. It will look at all your pictures. It will do whatever it wants because you've given it permission to do so.
But just not Facebook. I mean,
well, so many programs. Yeah.
Well, not even programs. I mean, just get in your car and you drive on the highway.
Yep.
There's places that they can see your car going by, or down the street, and there's so many places that have security cameras and everything else. So, you know, any idea that, you know, you can just get from point A to point B without being seen is ludicrous.
Okay, this is a little creepy.
What?
Apparently I said the trigger word, and so the Google Assistant came up, and what it heard me say was all your pick. All your pictures. So it came back and said, I feel like we know each other so well. I bet you can imagine what I look like. Okay. All righty.
We're going to have to question you, Nick, on your surfing habits here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of which, the funniest thing, as you may know, Italy is under lockdown. Is under mm-hmm. lockdown for COVID-19.
Yeah, they're locked. You're not getting in or out of that country.
There is a website called Pornhub. You can imagine the sorts of videos you get at Pornhub. They are offering free premium memberships to everybody in Italy for the duration of the lockdown.
Okay.
And I just, you know what? Whatever else you may think about that stuff, whoever's in charge of their publicity nailed it.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be cooped up for a whole month in your house.
You don't want to be around anybody else. It's just, it's hysterical. It's hysterical. Just very funny. Whatever else you may think of it, you got to hand it to whoever's in charge of their social media and their stuff there, because that person nailed it.
Well, you wonder what's going to happen here too, you know?
Right. Well, like Mastermind Lounge, which does video conferencing and video mm-hmm. training, right?
Yep.
Training over video. They are also offering their services free to various schools and stuff right
Boy,
now.
Boy, they're going to get nailed big time.
They're going to get nailed big time, and that's great. Because if you're in any sort of one-on-one training, like life coach or that sort of thing, you can now do it over the internet through video for free for now. If you're into group, it's free. If you mm-hmm. you know whatever you want to do, it's free. You want
yeah,
to meet
but are
people?
They going to be able to keep up with the demand?
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
That's actually a good problem to have. It's better to put something out that says we've reached capacity and we're adding it as fast as we can than mm-hmm. to have nobody on the system. I'm thinking about maybe next month for Rochester Googles, because we can't meet at St. John's now.
Right.
And that's true of Rochester Computer Society.
More and more places are going to shut down for the foreseeable future.
Right. And there's no reason not to be able to do it free. At Mastermind Lounge, everybody can see each other. Everybody can talk to each other. They can do whatever they got to do. And it makes a lot of sense, and it makes it easy to do. And why not? Why not? So, yeah, it's everybody's doing their part, and I love that idea. Is it publicity for your thing? Sure. Are you piggybacking on an international crisis? Well, yes, in a way.
But you're offering a solution.
Exactly.
That's instead of putting the wrong spin on it, this is trying to do good so folks can still continue on with their lives.
Exactly right. So, yeah, we definitely have. Is it the music? All righty. Well, that music tells me that we're done. We're done for another week, in point of fact. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to curse Steve Ray somewhere in the Midwest, the Southeast, rather, hiding among the Maces, the hole in the head gang. But we're done for another week, and I want to thank everybody who called in. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Let us know on our website what you think of the new look. If you've got any suggestions or comments, I would love to hear them. Please vote in the poll. And we will see each and every one of you in just 166 hours. Be good to each other. Take care of each other. We'll see you next week.